This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 18th of August 2023. Hello and welcome to the Winchester District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 18th of August 2023. Your readers today are Daphne Poupart.
Hello.
Diana Brooks.
Hello.
And Paul Newman.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. Now, the main headlines this week: Mosque ready for church hall move, Winchester actor in new BBC documentary, and show goes on as Feast of Music hits the spot. So, may we have the first story, please, Daphne?
Yes, and it was mosque ready for church hall move, but parish says Facebook post premature. A church hall in Winchester could become a mosque, ending a 20-year search. The Winchester Muslim Cultural Association posted on social media that it had identified Hyde Parish Hall on Hyde Street for a mosque. It said the Grade 2 listed building would be used as both a mosque and a multi-faith community centre. However, the church selling the hall has responded to the association's Facebook post about their interest in the building and raised concerns. The Parochial Church Council, PCC, of St Bartholomew's issued a statement indicating the association's post might be premature. The statement from the rector, Reverend Karen Kusoff, and the PCC said, "St Bartholomew's Church, PCC, would like to make it clear that while there was agreement in principle for the sale of the hall, this is still at very early stages of negotiation. We are concerned that we act with utmost transparency on behalf of our congregation and the parish of Hyde and Abbots Barton, whom we serve. We were given to understand that the hall would still provide its traditional community function and that there was no proposal for its primary use to be a place of worship. We also agreed to the sale on the understanding that the asking price had already been achieved. As reported, the hall has been put on the market by the PCC to fund the refurbishment and upkeep of the medieval church, the last known resting place of King Alfred the Great. The association had set up a Just Giving page to help fund the purchase, but this has now been deleted for reasons that are unclear. Mif Kayum, Winchester Muslim Cultural Association secretary, told the Chronicle that a mosque was a significant opportunity for Muslims in the city. Mr. Kayum said, "Our vision for the parish hall is that it will be an asset for the whole city and to have a multi-faith community centre. We've been using different venues across the city for prayers and other events. Our activities have been spread, so it has been hard to consolidate our work and build on the services we provide. It also means we can increase our work across the city, such as inviting schools to a working mosque. In the past, the association has looked at several properties in Winchester, including the former Roman Catholic Church on Stony Lane in Wick. In the end, no agreement could be reached, and the site was eventually sold for housing. Winchester City councillors from the St Bartholomew ward supported the Muslims' interest in the building. Councillor John Tippett Cooper, Lib Dem, said, "I'm delighted that the Winchester Muslim Cultural Association is looking to restore and purchase Hyde Parish Hall. WMCA is an excellent group. They are really community-focused and always looking to help those who need it the most in the local community, regardless of their faith or none. WMCA has also been invaluable in its support to refugees from Ukraine, Afghanistan and elsewhere. They would be perfect custodians of Hyde Parish Hall, a valuable part of Winchester's heritage and community." Councillor Nathan Eve, Lib Dem, said, "I'm very happy to hear that the WMCA has found a location in Hyde Parish Hall, and we wish them every success in the creation of a permanent community space in Winchester. I know it's something they've been working on for a time, and it's great to see this realised. The Winchester Muslim Cultural Association has been contacted for further comment."
Winchester actor in new BBC documentary. A Winchester actor reclaiming his Down syndrome as a superpower is taking on Hollywood in a new BBC documentary. Tommy Jessop and his older brother Will have co-created a programme showing what life with Down syndrome is really like as Tommy strives to write himself the leading role of his dreams. Despite starring in hit shows like The Line of Duty, Tommy still finds that actors like him are underrepresented and don't often get to play the hero. To change the norm, the Jessop brothers, with their mum Jane on the sidelines as a caterer, makeup artist and all-round momager, have documented their journey, pitching a new film with Tommy at the forefront as superhero Roger Mitchell, named after his teddy bear. The humorous yet hard-hitting programme, Tommy Goes to Hollywood, features stars such as Kit Harington from Games of Thrones, who reads the script of the villain questioning screening and bringing real insecurities of living with Down syndrome to light. In previous roles, Jessop has been electrocuted, thrown off a mountain, arrested and drowned in a lake, so he was pleased to be instead defeating the baddies as he trialled out his powers with Jackie Chan's stunt team. At an exclusive screening of the documentary earlier this month, Tommy and his film producer brother Will spoke on their ambitions in a Q&A led by BBC reporter Nikki Fox. Tommy, 38, said, "I've watched countless superhero films in the past. It's about time that I should have a superhero with Down syndrome who's making a change to the world. The first person I saw on TV with Down syndrome was myself. I want to open people's minds to what life will really be like for people living with Down syndrome. Hopefully, the main superpower really is an extra chromosome." Will said, "Everyone should have a superhero that looks like them. This project is very special to me. Tommy had his own camera, and I was kind of following him. The film has that tone where it's funny and joyous, but also serious in parts, which is what Tommy is like. We're writing Roger the Superhero now, and we've got some people who are excited to receive your draft. There could potentially be a documentary about the next phase, which will be casting." Having lived at Winchester for the past 32 years, the actor said that the city might be featured in the film. When asked how the writing is going, Tommy admitted, "We're making it up as we go along." Tommy Goes to Hollywood will air on BBC One and iPlayer at 9 p.m. on Monday, August the 21st. There's a delightful picture here of Tommy Jessop with his other film star, his beloved Teddy.
Show goes on as Feast of Music hits the spot. Boomtown Festival 2023 is the headline. Thousands of festival goers descended upon a Hampshire estate for Boomtown this year. Famed for its unique take on the festival experience, with complex storylines being told throughout a pop-up town, this year's 15th anniversary featured some big names in the industry. Hordes arriving at Winchester railway station and transferring by buses, a sea of campers arrived at Matterley Estate under Cheesfort Hill near Winchester with their wheelbarrows, bucket hats and sun cream and showerware for Boomtown Chapter 2, the twin trail braving the elements from Wednesday, August the 9th to Sunday, August the 13th. The five-day music event spanned across 503 hectares with 12 main stages and hundreds of smaller venues featuring music heavyweights like art punk legend Peaches
and disco royalty Sister Sledge. Although there were no major incidents on site this year, the departure of 66,000 visitors caused traffic chaos across Winchester and surrounding areas, with delays of up to an hour through the city centre and along the M3. Multiple roads were also closed on Wednesday, Thursday and Monday to protect residents from excessive traffic. Disappointment was caused when Sunday headliners, The Prodigy, were forced to pull out from their long-awaited return due to a back injury. The mammoth stone-like stage, towering at over 90 feet tall, with waterfalls cascading at either side and giant fireballs sitting atop, gave electronic music lovers the place to dance all day. New this year was the Spectrum 360 stage in District Area 404, created by queer disc jockey pioneer Mandy Dextrous, showcasing the harder style of dance music and providing a space for ravers to dance in unity. As well as acts, more than 100 food and drink traders were available across the long weekend, with vendors catering to all diets. The event was clamping down on drug-related harm this year, recruiting drug safety organisation We Are The Loop. Daily clean-up operations were conducted throughout the festival, which saw large groups take to the streets of Boomtown to clear the rubbish each day. But the large-scale clearing job commenced on Monday, the 14th of August, with overflowing bins, thousands of discarded beer cans and parts of gazebos dumped on the ground, all being packed away and hopefully arranged for recycling. As a sustainable festival, Boomtown is cash-free. Festival goers were instead given wristbands with contactless payment technology that they could top up online.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, Christian comment, letters to the editor, Chronicle editorial comment, first person and Belgaren. So we start with the death announcements this week. Blake, Wendy Jennifer Blake, née Westbrook, died at Mountbatten, Hampshire, on the 26th of July, aged 76. Dovey, Mark Dovey, died peacefully in hospital on the 4th of August. Houghton, Jean Houghton, died peacefully on the 8th of August, aged 94. North, Barbara May North, née Kimber, died peacefully in Stockbridge on the 2nd of August, aged 73. Rennell, Beryl Patricia Rennell, died peacefully at Linden House Nursing Home on the 4th of August, aged 89. Ryan, Anna Maria Ryan, died on the 30th of July after a sudden illness, aged 75. And Sullivan, Wendy Muriel Tremier Sullivan, died on the 2nd of August, aged 83. And now, Daphne, we have Christian comment, please.
And this week, Christian comment comes from Nigel Hemming, who is the senior pastor at Winchester Vineyard Church, and it's headed The Gift of Gratitude. I was waiting for a prescription in the chemist recently when a man came in to have a quiet word with the assistant. His elderly relative, who had been a regular customer for some time, had sadly passed away. As well as the courtesy of simply letting them know for their records, he made a point of asking the assistant to specifically thank the whole team on behalf of his family for the way in which they had served and cared for his relative. The assistant was clearly moved, and after he had gone, I inquired as to how often something like that happened. "Hardly ever," was her surprised response. This unusual interaction took the man less than a minute, but his small amount of effort had a considerable impact and honoured the staff who worked to provide a vital service, despite so often being run off their feet. At the end of my own recent hospital stay, we thanked the ward staff with a box of chocolates. It was only a small token, considering the large team that worked there 24/7, but the chocolates were gratefully received by that day's 12-hour shift team, and less than 10 minutes later, as we left the ward, we noticed they were already being shared around. In the Bible, Psalm 100 encourages God's people, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Thankfulness in response to a revelation of God's love is a fantastic basis for worship. But believers are encouraged to go further with thankfulness. Paul writes to the Colossian church, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Gratitude that permeates all aspects of our life is one of the most practical ways to live out faith. You could simply say that thankfulness is worship. As well as making other people feel valued or appreciated, though, being thankful is really good for us. The benefits for those who practice gratitude on a regular basis are wide-ranging. According to helpguide.org, being thankful can boost your mood, reduce anxiety, and improve your sleep, focus, self-esteem, and overall mental well-being. There are social and physical advantages too, increased patience and better relationships, as well as reducing stress leading to lower blood pressure and cardiovascular health. All of this from simply choosing to be thankful, or as previous generations might have put it, deliberately counting your blessings. You don't just have to follow Jesus to recognise the wider benefits of thankfulness, and I really hope that scenes like the one I witnessed in The Chemist can become commonplace. As Zig Ziglar once said, "Of all the attitudes we can acquire, surely the attitude of gratitude is the most important and by far the most life-changing."
Thank you. Now we move on to letters to the editor, and there's quite a few around parking issues, surprisingly. And Diana, you've got the first letter, I think.
This letter's entitled "Complete Mess," written by Duncan Eves. It's all well and good for Councillor Learney to state that Mrs. Bramley was misinformed about the city parking charges, Chronicle, August 10. On Friday, I was involved in a cathedral service that began with a rehearsal at 4 p.m. The service began at 5:30 p.m. and was followed by a social gathering that lasted until approximately 9 p.m. On Thursday evening, I checked the notice board in Tower Street car park, which gave information on the separate charges, but no information on the day-evening crossover charge. On Friday morning, I rang the city parking department and was clearly informed that I would have to pay the relevant daytime charge as well as the evening charge. It was suggested that I drive to Chessel Street car park, as it was the nearest to the cathedral that would not charge the evening fee. On what planet does driving across the city to park, which I would have to do from where I live, equate with reducing the emission levels? Needless to say, I found an alternative solution. The parking charges are a complete mess and need to be rescinded as soon as possible before Winchester loses all its credibility as a visitor-friendly city. Duncan Eves, Goring Field, take down Winchester.
Next is a reply to Mrs. Bramley's letter from Councillor Learney, cost of parking. "I'm really sorry that Mrs. Bramley was not given the right information about how much it costs to park on Sunday morning when she first contacted the City Council. The specific example Mrs. Bramley quotes in her letter to you, parking from 7:40 a.m. till 8:40 a.m. to attend the early morning service at the cathedral, now costs slightly less than it did before the prices changed in July. Until July the 3rd, this session would have cost her £2.10. It now costs £1.80. We recognise our signs could give the wrong impression, but the council does not charge both an overnight charge and a daytime charge for parking sessions that cross both periods. If part of your parking session includes a daytime charge, you won't be charged for the overnight charge as well. The parking machines and the Ringo Pay by Phone system have the correct information. In addition, nowhere in the centre of Winchester, including the cathedral, is more than 10 minutes' walk from over 1,000 City Council parking spaces that are free to use on Sundays and in the evening, including at Chesil Street, River Park, Kettle Market and Worthy Lane. These park and walk car parks offer an hour's free parking during the rest of the week too. And of course, Blue Badge holders continue to be able to park in our pay and display car parks for free. We will be reviewing the signage in our parks and contacting Mrs. Bramley to give her a full refund. Councillor Kelsey Lerney, Cabinet Member for Climate Emergency, Winchester City Council.
Now, AP Lodge writes the following. I hear that Winchester City councillors have achieved some remarkable national publicity for our city, but sadly, it's only for their hugely increased parking charges. How do they think that will help our local businesses and tourism industry? Councillor Kelsey Lerney was quoted as saying we can park and walk for free, which takes a mere 15 minutes to walk into town. She forgot to add, assuming you are fit, well, and not encumbered with small children and pushchairs. Their website mentions being able to get free parking for 1 hour. By the time you walked in and back, assuming you can, that leaves you 30 minutes to shop, have a meal, or go to a church service. I suppose you could manage a stand-up sausage roll in Greggs, but clearly Miss Lerney is not a regular churchgoer if she thinks most services fit into that category. The council also seems incapable of joined-up thinking on these matters. People will now use the cheaper rail station car park instead at weekends. Rail users won't be able to park and will use their cars, leading to an overall increase in emissions that they say they want to avoid. I look forward to a newspaper article that says city and county staff and councillors give up their subsidised parking. Now that would be a sensational headline. So may I openly ask council leaders Kelsey Lerney and Rob Humby to make a statement to the Chronicle on when they will give up all their parking privileges. And that comes from AP Lodge, Takedown Meads, Winchester.
Yet another parking letter, a short one by David Buttle. Try Romsey. Sadly, the Lib Dems think increasing car parking charges will stop cars going into Winchester. It may well do. Local businesses might be interested to know Romsey has no car parking charges on a Sunday. It's a lovely place to visit. If you're at the age of bus pass, then you can leave the donkeys at home. David Buttle, Falcon View, Badger Farm, Winchester.
And finally, smokescreen. This is from John Cutler from Rotherwick in At Hook. I think Mrs. Bramley, Chronicle Letters, August the 10th, should see the car park charging hikes in Winchester what they really are, a mere money-grabbing exercise hidden under the smokescreen of climate change and emission control. It will put me off coming to Winchester when I can park for free more locally. Farewell, John Cutler, Rotherwick, Hook.
Right, and now for a change of theme. This one is from Monica Gill and it's headed City's Public Toilets Are a Disgrace. cost of £385,000 spent on King's Walk, when it's possible it will be demolished in the regeneration plan, would have been better used to refurbish the disgusting toilets we have in Winchester. So would the cost of installing a cycle rack in Central Car Park, which houses more shopping trolleys than cycles. During the Christmas market last year, a visitor stopped me and asked where the disabled toilets were. Having given her all the locations, she informed me that she had tried them all and they were all out of order. She was so desperate for the disabled person with her that I took her to the disabled toilet in the sheltered scheme where I live. She was very grateful, but astonished that all disabled facilities were not available. It's not just disabled toilets, it's all the toilets in Winchester which are a disgrace, and the City Council should be ashamed that they don't appear to be addressing the matter. At a recent Cabinet meeting, Ian Tate and a local resident raised the matter, and it was announced by the leader that plans were in place to refurbish some toilets, but what we were not told was in which decade. And that comes from Monica Gill, Lawn Street, Winchester.
Yet another subject written by Rupert Pitt, Almost Broke. On August the 7th, The Telegraph published a long article by Sherelle Jacobs about the decline of Britain, our borrowing, many institutions not working as well as they should, low productivity for a decade. To quote, by most people's definition, the country is almost broke, even with taxes at a peacetime high, the state in borrowing billions to pay for unsustainable spending. After the authorities bungled how they issued public debt, debt servicing costs are now the fastest rising in the G7. I would offer these two solutions. The first solution is to reduce immigration. Migration Watch estimates that since 2010, immigration has added to population growth by 250,000 a year. So, 2.5 million have been added to the UK's population in 12 years. This places a huge burden on housing, NHS and schools. Britain is only 44% the size of France. The second is to raise standards in education and training. Maximum classroom size of 24. School uniforms and extra coaching for those who fall behind. In this way, we may begin to achieve the educational standards of Japan, South Korea, Taiwan and Germany. I was dismayed to read in the Daily Echo, October 2022, by James Shapiro, that nearly all Southampton schools are way below the national average, coming at 160 or lower. This can be paid for by dropping the absurd HS2 project and reducing the road building programme. I was dismayed to read that there is a proposal to spend £200 million on shaping the roundabout at Winnall Junction 9 of the M3. To spread £200 million on 4 acres of land, putting in more tarmac, does not improve Britain or its productivity. Assuming that a teacher's pay is £50,000 a year, this £200 million would pay for 4,000 more teachers. That will help Britain, not pouring tarmac on a road. Robert Pitt, St Cross Road, Winchester.
Paul Hickey of Parchment Street, Winchester, writes a letter entitled Wrong Side. See what you think. What a stupid mistake. Most of the benches in Winchester High Street are on the wrong side of the High Street, facing the blinding hot sun. Most people, whether they be Winchester residents or visitors, like to wander around or relax in Winchester High Street in the afternoons. If you sit on most of the benches in Winchester High Street in the afternoons, you will notice one very uncomfortable and frustrating thing. Most of the benches face the blinding hot sun. How could all Winchester councils, past and present, have not realised that most of the benches in Winchester High Street are on the wrong side of the High Street in the afternoons, directly facing the blinding hot sun? Winchester City Council Quickly move, please, most of the benches in Winchester High Street over to the t'other side of Winchester High Street, so that they are in the shade. Paul Hickey, Parchment Street, Winchester.
And wouldn't it be nice to see some blazing sun this morning?
Like to sit in the
They
warm.
Do, yes. Half is the answer.
Yes.
Okay, so now we have editorial comment, please, Daphne.
Right. A welcome home for Muslim community. For 20 years, Winchester's growing Muslim community has sought a permanent base for a mosque and community centre. So it is good news that it appears close to at last ending their search with their hopes set on Hyde Parish Hall. However, it is worrying that within a day of the Winchester Muslim Cultural Association posting the news on social media, the parochial church council issued a statement that raised a crucial issue about how the building would be used. The council was under the impression that it would be primarily a community centre, retaining its traditional functions. The council was also concerned that the association is launching a fundraising appeal when it had believed all the money was in hand. We hope that these issues can be addressed and resolved. For a city with a history of tolerance to not have a centre for more than 1,000 adherents of the Muslim faith would be strange. There are several questions that need answering. Will all the groups that currently use the hall still be able to do so? Is the importance of parking in people's minds? It would be wholly avoidable if future interfaith relations were soured by something as mundane as parked cars.
Thank you. Now, Diane, I think you have first person, please.
Yes, written by Khalid Aziz. When we are old, reaching 70. Well, it's finally happened. I have made it into my 8th decade. How does it feel? Is a recurring question. Frankly, no different at 70 to 69, but all those things that might have been. Different decisions I might have made, people I should have spent more time with, and some I should have run a mile from. And then there's the biblical charity that now I have achieved my 70. It's pretty much all over. Everything is downhill from here. A big birthday like this is a time for reflection. An apron, gifted by 2 old school friends, tells me that 53 was a momentous year. Our late Queen's coronation, the conquest of Everest, glorious. Sadder is the staggering inflation over the last 7 decades. In 1953, the average house price was £1,800, and cars cost £650. But a decent working wage was approaching £1,000 a year, so although cars were relatively dear, housing wasn't. Since then, house owning has moved steadily out of the reach of many. In 1953, world population was around 2.5 billion, compared with today's 8 billion. In the UK, the figures have merely gone from under 60 million to 70 million. But the extra pressure on resources has taken its toll, perhaps changing attitudes too. My formative years were very much in the age of deference, characterised by the witty play broadcast last week on Radio 4 about the creation of Beyond the Fringe, which featured the likes of Peter Cook, Dudley Moore and Alan Bennett. There was much consternation about whether public censor, the Lord Chamberlain, might cut the lampooning of the then Prime Minister, Harold Macmillan. The censor let it pass, and Macmillan subsequently attended a West End performance to be treated to Cook's wonderful mimicry. In the Prime Minister's sonorous and doleful voice, he declared to the cameras on his return to the recently opened Heathrow Airport, "I've just been round the world on your behalf and at your expense." Fast forward to 2023, and Rishi is treated to far worse. Sadly, these days, there's precious little wit to leaven the sniping. It's a tougher world, and everyone seems to be at each other's throats. under the thin veil of democratic legitimacy, it seems those who snatch the reins of power are hell-bent on pursuing their mandate, no matter how damaging. In Winchester, 24-hour car parking charges have been imposed, disenfranchising country dwellers who need, in the absence of any credible public transport, to use their cars to visit the city. The concomitant damage to businesses, whose staff also have to pay these charges, will push many over the edge at a time when they are already just clinging on. All in the name of misguided green. Blank. Whatever happened to governing for all the people? Still in Winchester, St. Bartholomew's Church, no doubt short of funds due to dwindling attendances, put up for sale its hall in Hyde. In steps the rather better supported Muslim Cultural Association, who want to take it over, restore it, and continue with its multi-use function. Reading between the lines, there's clearly been pushback from a few ruffled parishioners' feathers, and the church trustees have now declared they are concerned about the new use becoming a primary place of worship. There's a mosque. Wrong sort of God? Having been brought up in both Christian and Islamic traditions, I am perhaps better placed than most to see both sides. However, it does bring to mind the Dave Allen sketch where a South African bishop, at the height of apartheid, catches a black man on his knees in his cathedral. "What you doing, boy?" "I's just cleaning, boss." "Good. Don't let me catch you praying." As we age, we need more of the milk of human kindness.
Thank you. Now we have an article from Belgaron, Paul, please.
Emotional dance reunion. A delighted mother and daughter danced together for the first time in 3 years after reuniting at a Winchester dementia care home. Nalini Bagwat, resident of Colton Cares, St Catherine's View on Stanmore Lane, welcomed her daughter Aisha all the way from New Zealand. Both are talented dancers, and after Aisha made her 11,500-mile trip, it wasn't long before they were ready to show off some routines as a duo. A member of the Middle Eastern dance group in New Zealand, Aisha offered to entertain residents with a dazzling belly dancing performance dressed in a blue sequined outfit, and there's a photograph of her in it. After a few minutes, and an offer for spectators to join in, Nalini, her mother, was first to accept. Companionship team leader Laura Sheldrake said it was the first time in 3 years they'd been able to dance together. The look on Nalini's face while Naisha was dancing was just pure joy. "We arrange a Zoom call for them every week since Aisha lives on the other side of the world, but it was lovely to see firsthand how close they are, hugging each other and dancing. It was an emotional reunion, and a very happy one indeed. It was like they had never been apart."
Thank you. Now we have this week's announcements. We start with some items of what's on. Firstly, the gallery at the Ark, which was the Discovery Centre, in Jury Street, will present an exhibition of art by celebrated American artist Georgia O'Keeffe. The exhibition opens on Saturday the 26th of August and runs until November the 15th with an admission charge of £5. On Tuesday the 22nd of August at 6 o'clock in the evening, there's a guided walking tour of Regency Winchester, as known by Jane Austen and as painted by George Shepherd. And the tour starts from the Guildhall. And more information can be had from the tourist office at the Guildhall, 01962 840500. That's 01962 840500. And on Saturday the 26th of August at 7:30 p.m. at the Plaza Theatre in Romsey, there is Simply Dylan, which is a tribute act to the American singer Bob Dylan. And tickets are £18 and can be obtained by ringing the box office 01794 01794 512 987. That's 01794 512 987. Lighting up time ends on Friday the 18th of August at 5:56 a.m. and begins at 8:21 p.m. And next Wednesday the 23rd of August, it ends at 6:04 a.m. and begins at 8:11 p.m. And if you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone us on 01962 861 229. And this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. So now we continue with items of general news from the Chronicle. Daphne, please.
Right, so the first one is headed Opportunities Missed When Woman Died with Sepsis. Mm. Hampshire Hospital Foundation Trust has improved staff awareness on the symptoms of sepsis following the death of a Winchester woman. Orthopaedic consultant Kevin Conn admitted at an inquest that staff failed to adhere to best practice when Shione Carden, 86, was admitted to hospital in 2021. Mrs. Carden of Christchurch Road chaired the City of Winchester Trust's planning appraisal group for 20 years and was praised by her friends and family for her sense of humour and enjoyment for life. She died at Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital in the early hours of February the 4th, 2021, following surgery on an infected hip replacement. In a statement read out by Senior Coroner Christopher Wilkinson, Shione's husband, Michael Carden, said, "There were a series of spells which caused her health to deteriorate, but her sense of humour and character returned. I have no complaints over any of her treatment, and she always praised the NHS. However, I have one point of advice. If symptoms of sepsis were more widely known, I and others may have reacted sooner." Mr. Carden called his wife's GP, Dr. Becky Mitchinson, from St. Clement's on February the 2nd, after 2 days of increasing confusion and low blood pressure. The former City of Winchester Trust trustee was admitted to Royal Hampshire County Hospital before being transferred to Basingstoke during the night, ready for a procedure to remove the fluid around her hip. It wasn't until Mrs. Carden suddenly deteriorated that medical staff realised she had septic shock and gave her antibiotics. Although the inquest at Winchester Coroner's Court on Monday, August the 14th, concluded that Mrs. Carden ultimately died of natural causes, Mr. Wilkinson highlighted missed opportunities that he hopes the Trust can improve on, including identifying sepsis symptoms earlier, spreading awareness, and creating a culture where more junior doctors feel they can speak up. Speaking at the inquest, consultant Mr. Conn said, "She would have been seen as a lady with hip pain who was confused. With hindsight, it's likely that she was showing signs of sepsis. One crucial point was the confusion when she was usually alert. Failure to recognise the confusion as a new factor lulled people into a false sense of security. The ambulance record of the increase in confusion should have triggered a critical appraisal. The continuity of care is very important. The risk of transfer also meant that physicians couldn't monitor subtle changes. I don't think earlier antibiotics would have changed the ultimate outcome. I hope we've learnt from it, and I really apologise to the family that we did not adhere to best practice." Mr. Wilkinson said, "It appears more than likely that the infection may have lain dormant for quite some time. There was a failure to follow trust protocols, but this has not contributed to her death. It was a naturally occurring disease process that would have only at best been slowed down. Perhaps there is a gap in providing good and clear information to families that every significant surgery carries a risk of sepsis. People should be better informed on the symptoms so they can contact their GP in a timely manner."
This is a short but very pleasing little piece. It's called "Whale of a Time as Care Home Crew Take to Sea," Residents from Shawford Springs Care Home in Compton were plain sailing with a recent cruise organised by the team at the home. The cruise on the Alison MacGregor, operated by the Solent Dolphin Charity, set out from Hythe Marina onto Southampton waters for a relaxing and scenic two-hour cruise. The sun shone and residents were lucky enough to spot four black swans. Julie House, General Manager of Shawford Springs, said, "Our residents had a whale of a time on the cruise. Adventures that take place outside of the home are a regular event for the residents, and we always ask for ideas on where they would like to go. The day was a lot of fun. Residents were able to enjoy a beautiful day on Southampton water, which was very therapeutic. The sun even made an appearance." Barry, a resident at Shawford Springs, said, "I've had such a lovely day on the water. Sailing gives you such a feeling of freedom, and it was great to see the sun."
Here's a chirpy strapline. "It's Delhi delight as big move goes down a treat." Basil Leaf Delhi reopened just up the road from its original base in St George's Street on Saturday, August the 12th, taking over the former Megabet unit. Around £300,000 was spent on the refurbishment, with an additional £50,000 being used on new equipment for the deli to expand its bakery, charcuterie, cheese, fruit and vegetables, and wine and spirit selections. After 2.5 years in Winchester, the family business now has the space to serve food with mains, sharing platters and drinks available from midday. "All the regulars came for opening day. I and my sister were both crying. I'm exhausted, but it was brilliant and everyone was so happy. We've started serving food and people were expecting it to be pricey, but we've made our produce much more affordable. The recession is really hard and I don't want to be difficult. I'm loving the deli side. We've got so many cheeses and wines that have been specially picked to complement them. I had a mixture of feelings ahead of the move, but I will relax when we have everything in place. When we were first looking for premises, this unit was empty. It's been left for more than 10 years. The state of it was much worse than we were expecting when we got the keys. The old unit is currently being used as a storage unit while the team decides what they want to do with the space. With four members of staff running the business, the director is keen to hire 3 or 4 more employees, including another chef, waitress and kitchen porter. Basil Leaf Deli is open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays at 14 to 16 St. George's Street.
Now here's an interesting item, and it's headed "Big Day Out at Winchester's Military Museums." Winchester's Military Museums at Peninsula Barracks are hosting a big day out on September the 16th. The event runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. with free entry to all 6 museums, live music from a military band from 11 a.m, a range of reenactors, family activities and crafts, museum displays, food and drink, stalls and raffles. The band and bugles of the Rifles will perform throughout the day. Soldiers from the Princess of Wales's Royal Regiment and the Adjutant General's Corps will be on hand to talk about life in the army today. Museum corner curators will be available for object identification and questions about family history or a loved one's military service, while reenactors from the Battle of Waterloo to the Boer War and beyond will be there to show and tell you about military life in the past. And that's accompanied by a photograph of a lovely sunny day with the military band in all their glory, wonderful uniforms with their instruments, playing in front of that splendid backdrop, the Peninsula Barracks. Sounds like a really good day out.
This small article is again describing an important community service. It's called Free Lunches Over Summer. Winchester City Council has launched a scheme to feed children from low-income families over the summer. The council has partnered with two organisations, Project Spa and Kitchen in Winchester City Centre and Sparshot Village Shop and Post Office, to provide free lunches to children across the district who would usually receive free school meals. The Summer Munches scheme, which runs until September the 1st, is also open to any families worried about the costs of providing for their children over the holiday. The lunches themselves each contain a fresh sandwich, a piece of fresh fruit and a healthy snack, available daily with no prior booking required. Parents can attend either the Projects or Sparshot Village Shop and ask for the Summer Munches deal. Cabinet Member for Community and Engagement, Councillor Kathleen Becker, said, "I am pleased that we've been able to partner with two great organisations to roll out our completely free Summer Munches scheme, which is there to ensure that families concerned about the increased cost of living are still able to provide a healthy and nutritious lunch for their children during the school holiday. Project Spa and Kitchen is located on Upper Brook Street, Winchester, while Sparshot Village Shop and Post Office is in Woodman Lane."
New focus on pollution threat from septic tanks. A campaign to tackle off Maine's drainage pollution to Hampshire's chalk streams has been given new support. A waste management specialist is collaborating with a partnership of environmental organisations led by Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust and the Wessex Rivers Trust to promote septic smart project. Hampshire's chalk streams, including the world famous Tester Neptune, provide a perfect habitat for species like water vole, brown trout, southern damselfly, water crowfoot and white clawed crayfish. There are only about 210 chalk streams in the world, and most of them are found in the southern half of England. These chalk streams can be damaged by phosphates, pathogens, nutrients, nitrates and ammonia from leaking cesspits, septic tanks and sewage treatment plants. Sewage pollution is deadly to aquatic life and some promotes the rapid growth of algae. This starves the streams of sunlight and oxygen, which can kill their plant and animal life. The Septic Smart project aims to highlight the need for good management of Maine sewage systems. It forms part of the Watercress and Winterbourne's Landscape Partnership Scheme, which is led by the Wildlife Trust and the Rivers Trust and is supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund. The Managing Director of CSG, Neil Richards, said, "We are really pleased to collaborate with the Watercress and Winterbourne scheme to raise awareness of this important issue. When cesspits, septic tanks and sewage treatment plants are working well, they offer necessary solutions for properties that can't be connected to the main sewer system. However, if they are badly positioned or ill-maintained, people and wildlife are at risk. In Hampshire, pollution can easily reach the chalk aquifer, affecting drinking water for many years, as well as wildlife. It's a serious issue that people need to be aware of." Neil said sewage treatment plants should be serviced to the manufacturer's instructions or annually, and septic tanks should be emptied regularly. "We know of cases anecdotally where people haven't emptied a septic tank for 20 years, said Neil. "The need for regular maintenance is not very well understood." Neil said to watch out for swampy ground, pools of water, a grey film on the ground, and spots of lush grass as a sign that leak could be present. Sinks, showers, and toilets may also drain slowly.
Now, this is a rather distressing item, I'm afraid, and it's headed "Man Jailed for Throwing Cat." A man wept in the dock after becoming jailed for throwing a cat down a flight of stairs at a home in Fair Oak. Carl McGailey, 24, appeared emotional as he was given 20 weeks in prison for the shocking incident in Davidson Drive. Southampton Magistrates Court heard how McGailey of Peninsula Road, Winchester, had bought the cat, Nala, for his partner in April 2022. But he went on to make threats to throw the animal out of the window and kill her. On June the 22nd, 2022, the woman heard the cat meowing and screeching and found McGailey trying to get her out from under the sofa with a baseball bat. When he eventually got the cat out, he picked her up, at which point she urinated on the sofa. He then stormed over to the top of the stairs and threw her over the banister while shouting, "Why did I get her for you?" the court heard. Prosecuting, Sarah Whedon told the court how the animal was left motionless and floppy at the bottom of the stairs. She was found with blood around her right paw, and when police and the RSPCA arrived, she was rushed to the vets. She was found to have a fracture to her tooth below the gum line, tissue swelling, and a skin tear to her paw. When interviewed, McGailey said her paw was not like that when he saw her, denying ever harming the animal. But Ms. Whedon added that his story was not consistent with the RSPCA's findings. Sentencing, District Judge Peter Greenfield said the cat must have been pretty distressed. Clearly, the cat could have been killed. But mitigating, Will Day said his client accepted the injuries caused to Nala, adding that he is someone that struggled with anger and emotions. He is very motivated to move forward and not commit further offences, he said. Mr. Day added that McGailey lost his temper, but that the cat only had discomfort for 3 or 4 hours and did not suffer long-lasting injuries. McGailey admitted one charge of causing unnecessary suffering to a protected animal. Weeping in the dock, he was also given a disqualification order, banning him from possessing an animal for life. Good job to...
This piece will be of interest to people who enjoy a meal out. It's entitled "Pub Back in Business After £1 Million Refit." A newly refurbished pub held its first event following its grand reopening. The Cart and Horses in Kingsworthy is officially back in business with a new team, look and menu, after its £1 million refurbishment. The pub in London Road hosted an exclusive launch party, inviting local business leaders to sample the menu and enjoy live music to the renovated dining areas inside and in the garden. New manager Ben Jones has worked in the hospitality industry for a decade, but this is his first time taking on a pub. Mr. Jones from Fair Oak said, "It was a successful pub before, but crafted pubs listen to their community, and we found that there was a space for a renovated venue, so we filled that gap. What we know is that in the UK, pubs do really well. With the cost of living, people might not be going out as much, but we would, but will be that place that be the place that people choose, especially as there's a feeling of the home away from home. We've been pretty much booked since opening. The reception has been so good, and we get the genuine feeling that it was much needed in the area. I want to do everyone proud, and it's brilliant to be involved in something local." And there's a lovely photograph here of, I would think, at least 30 young, enthusiastic, smiling members of staff, all ready to look after us at the Cart and Horses.
20 mile per hour rollout plans put on hold. A delayed review of a 20 mile per hour plan which will introduce powers to communities over road management is due in November. Hampshire County Council set up the 20 mile per hour task and finish group in March last year to examine how or whether to bring in zones in the future. Winchester has a 20 mile per hour zone, and the ruling Lib Dems on the City Council have indicated they will consider widening it across the city. At the Universal Services Transport and Environment Select Committee in January, members gathered to discuss the Task and Finish Group report and widely disagreed with its findings. The committee accepted the report and recommendations and agreed to make changes that would be considered when developing the new policy. The report, which took over 10 months to put together and saw almost 10,000 people consulted, should have been presented to the cabinet meeting, the cabinet summer meeting. However, Councillor Nick Adams-King, executive lead member for Universal Services, has confirmed that this item will be delayed until November and will give communities the power over road management in their area. He said, "The 20 mile per hour review is coming back to the committee for introduction in November, combined with changes to the community funded initiative programme, which will allow communities more significant say over the road management in their area. That is the key to this." Asking about the government's plans to review low traffic neighbourhoods, LTNs, that could limit powers to local councils to implement 20 mile per hour zones, he indicated that despite Hampshire not having LTN zones, an introduction of any change must have strong community support before it happens. He continued, "If they are to be introduced, along with any other changes to road management, then I feel that it should only happen where there is evidence of strong community support for it. It will be interesting to see how the government review changes to measures introduced elsewhere in the country."
And now an item headed "Phenomenal Support for Restaurants Move." The owner of a Japanese restaurant has spoken of the phenomenal support since its move. Kyoto Kitchen recently moved from Parchment Street to the former Bridge Street House in Bridge Street. After having a soft launch, owner Miff Kayum and his team are preparing for an official launch in the coming weeks featuring a VIP guest. Mr. Kayum said, "The official launch is yet to happen. We're going to have a VIP guest for the official launch in due course. We had a soft launch with friends and family to test things. We're a small business, so everyone in the team worked really hard to move everything from Parchment Street. They have been involved in the whole process." Mr. Kayum described some of the problems the team faced. He said, "This building doesn't look attractive from the outside. It looks very shabby. But I fell in love with the place as soon as I walked through the doors. We completely underestimated the amount of work involved, but that's just the nature of old buildings in Winchester. We had reached as far as we could in Parchment Street. The space was limited, so our chef couldn't fulfil his potential there. The chefs were literally stepping on their toes, so it has been essential to increase that space. Everyone has been so interested in the whole project and seeing the vision come together. The restaurant has already been attracting celebrity guests, with Alsford resident and TV personality Jordan Wiley and actor Benedict Wong dropping by. Japanese footballer Maya Yoshida was a regular at Parchment Street when he played for Southampton. As well as the restaurant, 6 bedrooms will soon be available. A planning application for a new external linkway, recladding, signage and internal remodelling and modernisation had received objections from some residents. On Wednesday was the 9th, it had received 4 objections and 4 supporting comments. Simon Prutton of Petersfield Road in Winchester said, "I cannot understand why anyone would object to this application, aside from the usual NIMBYism that comes with any planning application. The proposed changes are very much in keeping with the current architecture, and it looks to me as though the new owner of the property is going out of their way to minimise the impact on the area visually. Kyoto Kitchen and Rooms will have its official opening in the coming weeks." And there's a picture there of Miff Kayum and his head chef, Paul Onami, in his apron there, looking very happy and smiling. And underneath, a picture of a very smart-looking new bar area with those lovely high bar stools. And it looks very interesting.
This next article is entitled "Hospices Get Behind Half Marathon." Naomi House and Jack's Place will sponsor the Winchester Half Marathon on Sunday, September the 24th. Based in Sutton, Scotney, near Winchester, Naomi House and Jack's Place support families across the country, providing expert hospice care for life-limited and life-threatened children and young adults, as well as their families. The half marathon will take thousands of runners through the city and countryside past landmarks such as Winchester Cathedral and St Catherine's Hill. Joe Shaw, events manager at Challenging Events, said, "We are delighted Naomi House and Jack's Place are lead local charity at this year's marathon. We can't wait to see their awesome team of runners on the day who are raising funds for an amazing cause." Gemma Rolfe, events fundraising officer at Naomi House and Jack's Place, said, "It is a great pleasure to be lead local charity partner for the fifth year in a row for the Winchester Half Marathon. Every year our runners take on this hilly route and raise much needed funds for the hospice. We couldn't be more thankful to such wonderful local supporters. To sign up to the event to run for Naomi House and Jack's Place, visit naomihouse.org.uk/WinchesterHalf23.
Top cop in Get Tough pledge. New Deputy Chief Constable of Hampshire Police has revealed her priorities. Samantha Derea, known as Sam, joined the force in Hampshire on August 7th, transferring from Dorset Constabulary. On her fourth day of the job, she revealed her priorities for the force. "I run the force on behalf of the Chief Constable. For me, that is all about making sure we've got the right people in the right places, making sure they've got the right equipment and tools to go out and be their best and deliver for communities. It helps if we're out there in our communities delivering, making sure that people are safe and we're protecting them from harm and ultimately reducing crime and disorder." Sam said the vision of the force is clear thanks to Chief Constable Scott Chilton, who also recently joined the force from Dorset. This is something she plans to progress on during her tenure with the force. "Getting in the faces of the criminals, making sure we're bringing more offenders to justice, and making sure victims have the trust and confidence in us to come forward and make those complaints and trust that we'll deal with their needs. That's key. We have a real focus on local policing and making sure that we're delivering excellent policing for our communities, because they all have different needs." Speaking on tackling knife crime, she said her focus is tackling two things: violence among young people and antisocial behaviour. She said there's three key things for me around violence. One is that we're out there being visible and we're responding and we are dealing robustly with offenders. The second bit is about making sure we're safeguarding communities as well by ensuring young people aren't getting drawn into violence and protecting them from it. And then the third thing really is about how we prevent it from happening in the first place. We're taking a really robust stance, particularly around violence and antisocial behaviour.
Amazing Grace is UK Junior Miss. A Winchester girl is celebrating after she won a nationwide pageant. Grace Hannah, 13, fought off competition from girls all over the country to take home the UK's National Junior Miss crown. She has been involved in pageantry for the past 6 years and says that the experiences have gained her confidence and friends from all over the country. She said, "I am so excited to be your UK's National Junior Miss 2023. As one of the younger contestants in the division at 13 years old, I am so proud to take home this prestigious title. This was my first time competing in a pageant girl system, and it exceeded all of my expectations. From the amazing PJ party to rehearsals, I made so many new friends and came off stage saying I didn't care how I was placed because I knew I had done my best and had a blast. To win the crown was really just the cherry on top of an amazing weekend. The UK's National Miss two-day competition was held at the Mercure Manchester Piccadilly Hotel in Manchester, starting on July the 14th, with the activity and team-building day, which included glamorous photo shoots, empowerment workshops, and a morning stretch and meditation session. The rehearsals and grand final itself took place on July the 16th. Holly Pierre, director of UK's National Miss, said, "I am so pleased for Grace. She truly deserved to win UK's National Junior Miss. Grace is a beautiful girl, inside and out. We know she will be an excellent representative of the organisation. She has a very exciting year ahead." And there's a picture of Grace, and yes, she's very pretty. She's got long, wavy hair tumbling down her back, wearing it looks like an evening dress. I think it's full length. Beautiful cobalt blue with a silver belt. Yes, she does look very pretty.
This is about the historic church organ appeal. The author of a booklet about a 150-year-old church organ is looking for photos of it from the early 20th century. Robert Fielding is putting the booklet together about the William Hill organ in St Mary's Church in Broughton. Mr Fielding said, "On the December 7th last year, the historic William Hill organ in St Mary's Church was 150 years old. In 1872, over 600 sorrowing friends contributed to a fund to pay for the new organ in memory of the highly respected and talented doctor, Edward Lloyd Harries Fox, who had sadly died at the early age of 30. I am now searching for photos of the organ from 1907 to 1908, when the west door, which the organ had blocked, was opened up and the organ pipes raised 12 feet above floor level, with the player's console and bellows handle remaining on the ground floor facing east. To contact Mr. Fielding, email rffielding@gmail.com, and by the side of that address is a lovely photo of the old organ in St Mary's Church in Broughton, very different from the modern ones we see today.
Planners to rule on college expansion. Major plans for two boarding houses and development of a playing field at Winchester College will be decided by city planners. Their officers are urging them to approve the controversial plans at a meeting as the Chronicle went to press. The college, the city's biggest private employer, is seeking permission for the scheme on tennis courts at Kingsgate Park off St Cross Road. A large chunk of the park would also be redeveloped for an all-weather hockey pitch with artificial grass. Two sections of wall on St Cross Road will be demolished to allow access to the houses. They are needed for the private school to accept girl boarders from 2024. The scheme has had comments from 16 objectors and 4 supporters. In the planning officer report, it said, "The development is recommended for permission, as it is considered that the principle of a development is acceptable in that the site is within the settlement boundary and the encroachment into an area of open space is justified. While the proposals will have some impact on the setting of listed buildings and the conservation area, and include the loss of one good quality tree, these issues have been carefully assessed, and due to the high quality design of the buildings and their careful siting and the benefits arising from improving the college facilities, the impacts are considered to be acceptable. This application is therefore considered to be in accordance with the development plan and will make a positive contribution to the local environment and Winchester City, and will bring benefits to the accessibility of the college as a facility." Jane Hurd, Secretary of Kingsgate Tennis Club, said, The College has been proactive in presenting the case for this development and seeking the opinions of us as an active tennis club with over 500 members. We only see this development as a positive benefit to Winchester and our tennis club members. The facility would benefit various clubs, in particular hockey, but it will also allow much increased tennis facility in the summer. Bill Gunyon of St John Street, Winchester, said, "I object to this application of its failure to accommodate any on-site renewable energy generation. The young occupants of these buildings will expect no less."
10th birthday for a state farm shop. Last weekend saw a milestone for one local business as the Longstock Park Farm Shop and Cafe marked its 10th anniversary. Situated on the 2,800-acre Leckford estate, the Longstock Park Farm Shop and Cafe has 26 partners and sees approximately 2,800 transactions from customers each week. Customers can shop a selection of own-label Leckford Estate products, including Leckford Estate Brut, Leckford Estate Rapeseed Oil, and flowers. The shop is also home to a Leckford Wash cheese, which is pasteurised by expert British cheesemakers Nettlebed Creamery. The farm shop has a group of long-standing local suppliers who have been working with Longstock since the shop opened. Since then, the team has increased the number of local and regional products available, offering customers a wide variety of options. Today, these make up more than half of the range available and include food, drink, gifts, and homeware. Caroline Noakes, MP for Romsey and Southampton North, said, "Happy 10th birthday to the Leckford Farm Shop and Cafe. I was delighted when it opened in my constituency in 2013 as an addition to the fantastic facilities offered to the estate, such as the water gardens and nursery. It has become a real community hub where people can buy great local produce and also enjoy getting together."
Swish home for sale with £10 million price tag. One of the most expensive properties in the Winchester area is on the market. Shawford Park House, located on Shawford Road near Twyford, is currently up for sale with an asking price of more than £10 million. The Grade 2 country house comes with 59 acres of land and features both formal and informal gardens, tennis and squash courts, a self-contained staff annex, and 1,940 yards of fishing on the River Itchen. It also has 10 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms and 7 living rooms. The property is being represented by Savills and is currently on the market with a guide price of £13.5 million, a bargain for billionaires.
Addiction linked to death. An Alsford woman died after 30 years of battling alcohol and drug misuse. Deborah Kramers of Broad Street was found dead at her home on May the 18th last year. The inquest at Winchester's Coroner Court on a Wednesday, August the 2nd, ruled that there was no third-party involvement. However, a toxic relationship in which her on-and-off partner would post cocaine through her door and use her bank card was likely to have led to her fatal relapse. Miss Kramer, 52, best known as Lou, had more than three times the drink-drive limit for alcohol when examined at post-mortem. Causes of death included alcohol ketoacidosis, chronic alcoholism, and acute alcoholic intoxication. Coroner Rosamond Rose Rhodes Kemp said, "There was a missed opportunity to engage. I'm not suggesting it would have made a difference, but the police constantly tried for her to be taken in and be under somebody's care." A statement read by the coroner from mental health nurse Kim Hughes showed that Miss Kramer had had 5 relapses in 5 years and was drinking every day. The 52-year-old, who managed her family's loose tea business, also had a history of mental health problems. The coroner will be following up with Hampshire's multi-agency safeguarding hub for their full investigation into whether more support could have been given.
Now a short item, and it's headed Dance to Help with Parkinson's. Dance classes for people with Parkinson's are coming to Badger Farm Community Centre. Penny Bryant will be hosting the classes on Fridays from 1:45 to 3 p.m. starting on September the 8th. Participants can discover the proven benefits of dance for people with Parkinson's in a safe and happy environment. Different dance genres will be included in the class with varying levels for ability. Carers are welcome to accompany participants and are not charged for the class. To register and learn more, either email Bryant Dance School, that's all one word, and Bryant is spelt B-R-Y-E-T-T, Bryant Dance School at gmail.com or phone 01962 863 061.
On a different note, locals oppose more motocross. More than 20 objections have been raised against plans to allow motocross events to be held at any time of the year near the Boomtown site. Should the application be approved, it would mean events could be held outside the current time frame of August the 1st to October the 15th. The original plan, submitted in 2008, was refused by Winchester City Council, but was overturned on appeal in 2010. The new application has been submitted to the South Downs National Park Authority. Objectors say that removing the restriction would impact skylarks that nest on the ground. The application for Massley Bowl Motocross, Petersfield Road, has had 21 objecting and one supporting comment. The site is well liked by motocross fans and has staged the British Motocross Grand Prix and Motocross of Nations, dubbed the Olympics of MX. The objection from Cheriton Parish Council said the Parish Council notes that the authority has not considered the whole development and contends that the whole development must include not merely the improved site of 5.55 HA used for the racetrack, but all land used for other event purposes, including vehicle parking, camping, entertainment, catering and amenities, for which permission has never existed. Christopher Napier from CPRE Hampshire said, "Having regard to past practice, we consider a limit of 2 events per year, a maximum number attending of 6,000, and an overall noise limit would be appropriate and reasonable. We're advised that continuing events to the period August the 1st to October 15th will conserve ground nesting birds." In the planning statement, Richard Goodall, director of Advoco Planning, said, "The permanent planning permission for the motocross track was granted on appeal in 2010 and has been the subject of multiple amendments which have typically, but not exclusively, been sought on an event-by-event basis and therefore annually. Motocross events have taken place each year and generally only one annually. The events are widely, though not universally, well received locally and not the subject of any significant complaints on noise, traffic or disruption grounds. In addition, having the event early in the year creates a better distribution of events across the estate and aid the greening of the track afterwards. The applicant's main priority is to agree a suite of planning safeguards which provide the necessary safeguards while providing some flexibility to host events without the need for continually varying the terms of the original planning approval."
Uninsured motorbike man wasn't the sharpest. A motorbike rider has been reported for driving without insurance or a license after being stopped along an accident black spot. Police seized a bike from a 20-year-old man from Southampton who was caught along the A272 in Cheriton last Sunday afternoon, August the 13th. A spokesperson for Hampshire Police said he has been reported for driving with no insurance, driving otherwise than in accordance with a licence, and having his number plate obscured and not easily readable. Hampshire Roads Policing Unit posted on Twitter, "They ride among us. This rider stopped on the 8072 at Cheriton today, had nothing to hide. Well, apart from no licence, never had one, no insurance, no tax, flip up, no plate, even gave false details which went well until he couldn't remember when he was born." Not the sharpest. Police installed speed cameras along the A272 in May to improve safety following the death of a motorcyclist near Langrish. Another driver had a lucky escape along the same road at the beginning of the year after crashing into a bus shelter in Bramdean, causing a wooden pole to smash through the windscreen. People living along the A272 and A32 have long campaigned for the police to better tackle antisocial riding.
Princesses coming to town. The first Princess Parade, and that's with two capital P's, in Winchester will take place on August the 24th from 12 to 2pm. 8 fairy tale characters will be meeting at the Buttercross, where they will stop to sing, dance and take pictures with families. They will then walk down the High Street to Abbey Gardens for another performance and a meet and greet. The parade is free of charge and the local community are encouraged to dress up for the event. There will be a fancy dress competition for the children, dressed in their best princess, superhero or character outfits. The event has been highly anticipated online, with over 2,100 people responding so far, but it will be streamed live on Facebook and Instagram pages. Anna Tucker, director of the local children's entertainment company Snow Princess Parties, said, "Our aim is to bring some magic, love and joy to little ones and give them an unforgettable experience right on their doorstep." And that's accompanied by a lovely picture of, well, it said 8 characters, but there are 10 in this picture. And they're all dressed in their costumes, and they can't all be princesses because I can see Snow White and Belle from Beauty and the Beast, Batgirl, Maid Marian, and that girl who's the lead in Game of Thrones. The other 4, I've got no idea, except one looks like a mermaid, and I think you probably have to ask a little girl who they all were.
This is another fun piece for the community. It's West End Magic Show. Magic fans of all ages are in for a treat as an award-winning magic show comes to Winchester. West End Magic is a family-friendly show packed with award-winning magic, hilarious comedy, mind-reading mystery, audience participation, illusion and crazy stunts. Direct from the Leicester Square Theatre, London's longest-running theatre magic show, features some of the most exciting names in magic and variety, including British champion of magic Oliver Tabor, who has performed to audiences worldwide and advice on films such as Now You See Me too. Magical company Wayne Trice, who aside from performing magic has decades of theatre experience in lighting, sound, stage management and directing, and a lineup of other special guest acts. Suitable for audiences aged from 5 to 105, West End Magic was born out of a young magician's club whose members meet weekly at Davenport's Magic Shop in Charing Cross Road, the world's oldest family-run magic shop. Here they created card tricks and illusions to perform to the public before they disbanded, until reuniting in 2007 when some of the original members of that club reformed to create a show that evolved into West End Magic. Now, celebrating 10 years, West End Magic is the perfect family treat to round up the summer holidays. West End Magic will be at Theatre Royal Winchester on Saturday, August the 26th at 7pm. Tickets can be purchased from the Theatre Royal website.
Chinese students check out Winchester University. A group of Chinese students enjoyed their experience when they visited Winchester University for the first time since COVID. 9 students and 1 staff member of the Nanjing University of Science and Technology College toured the campus. The group consisted of third-year students looking at studying abroad for their masters. They were on a 10-day trip to England, arranged through the company Opportunity China, and the excursion involved sightseeing as well as university visits. The Nanjing party received a presentation about the University of Winchester by Maggie Lin, International Recruitment Development Manager. Postgraduate student Erin Jingzhang Lee helped with the tour and presentation. Maggie explained to the visitors she was amazed by the university and its proximity to Winchester, which they described as a small and peaceful city, which is good for studying. Nanjing University of Science and Technology College covers an area of 613 acres and holds roughly 27,000 students.
Thank you. So that concludes the extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. And thanks, of course, to our readers, Daphne Poupart.
Goodbye.
Diana Brooks.
Goodbye.
And Paul Newman.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vincent, goodbye, and do have an enjoyable week. And when you've finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.